You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Lord Jesus Christ, by whose wounds we are healed, pray that the word that goes forth would be you, the living word. We would know the healing and salvation in you. And all this I ask in your name, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Do you have a place and time that you remember that you love so much it hurts? It's not necessarily one you want to go back to, or even that you can go back to, but a place and a memory, a time that you love so much it hurts. For me, it's Sullivan's Island, South Carolina. Our kids were little there. Our youngest was born there. I served a little church, the Church of the Holy Cross, on Sullivan's Island. We experienced events there that would shape our lives, that remain with us to this day. And just across the Intercoastal Waterway in Mount Pleasant, there was a retirement community, and I would volunteer leading a service once a week. And I don't know how I got into that, but I did. And I would go there once a week, and the activity director of that place was a lovely, lovely person who loved the people well. I think, in my mind, one of the greatest compliments that can be said about us or someone is loving the people well. And what that looked like, of course, may look different in different situations. There's not a precise formula for loving people well beyond serving and laying down your life for another. And on the day I'm remembering, the activity director came up to me after the service, as was always the case, and she would say, these particular people would love a visit. They wanted to come to the service today, but they couldn't. They'd love a visit. And she would come along with me and the volunteer, and we would visit the various rooms, and we would visit. We would pray with them. We would bring communion. And I remember to this day, this one particular woman, and often when we would go to visit the people, when we go into their rooms, I would think to myself, I don't think they actually wanted a visit, but I was happy to play along all the same. But on this particular day, I was quite certain that this woman hadn't requested a visit, and it wasn't because she was hostile, she just wasn't with it. But we prayed and gave communion to her, and usually the people were in the bed, as was this woman on this particular day, and I placed the bread, the host, on her tongue, and I can remember she began to stick her tongue out once, twice, three times, four times, and then she reached up with her hand to take the bread, the host, off of her tongue, and I can visualize it to this day, just reaching over across her bed, and in between the wall and her bed, she dropped it. Under the bed, between the wall, under the bed. And you may have noticed sometimes that in church services, when the bread is dropped on the floor, one of us will pick it up and will consume the bread. Kind of a small, maybe not the most hygienic, you would say, but we'll pick it up and we'll consume it, and it's just a small act of reverence. Thinking about the words that Paul wrote to the Philippians, remembering Jesus, who, though equal with God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but humbled himself and took the form of a servant, a God who stoops to save and restore and redeem a broken world, to save and restore and redeem broken people like you and like me. Again, a very small act of devotion, picking up the bread, an act of reverence, an act of thanks. And In this particular moment, when this happened, the two women looked at me, the minister, in the midst of them, assuming I was going to do something about this. And this was a nice enough place, but honestly, any place like that is institutional, tile floors, and a certain smell associated with the place. And I thought about getting down on my hands and knees on the tile floor and crawling under the bed. And just last night, today is Good Friday, just last night, Maundy Thursday, among the things that we remember is the scandal of none other than Jesus, the Savior, the greatest among them, scandalously getting down on his hands and his knees, making them uncomfortable as he washed the disciples' feet and inviting us to do this in remembrance of him, loving and serving one another. They looked at me, and this was the moment, and I paused and I said, God's going to have to work this one out, was what I said. True, honest, those words were true. God is going to have to work this out. A true word, first, my limitations are limitations. You can call it human limitation, you can call it sin. I should have been more. I should have been more in that moment, more faithful, less afraid, but I wasn't. I wanted to run out of the room. And in the grand scheme of my life, our lives, the moments when I should have been more faithful, less afraid, more responsive, less self-focused, this one is rather small, but telling, and I believe illustrative of a larger truth. I mentioned yesterday, last night was Maundy Thursday, and you may remember that word. Maundy is derived from the Latin mandatum, which means commandment. And Jesus gives his disciples on the night of his betrayal and the ongoing betrayals, he gives them a new commandment. You remember as Jesus washes their feet and he says to them, a new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And last night's service, if you were here, you know, it was beautiful and moving in every way. And along with today's service, it was the Maundy Thursday service is dramatic, I would say dramatic in the best possible way, just like today's service is dramatic and jarring in the way that it's stark, in the way that we enter in silence, the way that we leave in silence. And Maundy Thursday is similarly dramatic. It ends in the dark. We depart in silence. We remember Jesus beginning his descent into death. We remember today. Not figurative death does Jesus enter into, but real death, the kind of death that we die, the kind of death that our loved ones die. Jesus enters into that kind of death where his breathing stops and his heart stops, his mind stops. He will fully die. And in that service, everything that is decorative and beautiful is taken away. The chancel is stripped. Psalm 22 is sung, and we hear those words, my God, why have you forsaken me? And art so far from me and from the words of my cry. But what struck me after the service, and sincerely, I would not change a thing about the service, is how inaccurate it is to what happened in that particular moment. The service, we haven't really worked out. The ending of the service is orderly. We meet about it and we practice it. We have two people, one on each side, who goes and sort of orderly removes the hangings and hands them to this conveyor belt of people which travel through. And again, I wouldn't change a thing about it. It's so moving and organized as everything is taken away. But more accurately to what happened and more accurately to what's often going on in our lives and going on in our spirits is, if we were to do a more accurate Maundy Thursday, we would have despair and chaos and confusion at the end of it. And that's the way that it was. Jesus was at dinner with his friends, washing their feet. Love one another as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends, Jesus says to them. And as Jesus is at dinner with his friends, he says, one of you will betray me. And Judas slips out into the dark to betray Jesus, while the other disciples speak with confusion and fear and perhaps accusation as well. You remember they begin to ask, is it me? Am I the one, Jesus, who will betray you? Is it my friend next to me? You remember they overestimate their own strength and will and resolve, telling Jesus that even if they have to die, they will be with him to the very end, even to the point of death. They overestimate their strength and their resolve. They fall asleep when Jesus asks them to stay awake. They fail to pray when Jesus asks them to pray with him. And they deny him and any association with him. And one of the things in the accounts of Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection, have you ever noticed there's so much running? People are running around everywhere, and it's a sure sign of their fear and their uncertainty, and they're not having it. They're not knowing what to do. Everyone is running away but Jesus. Everyone is running away, but Jesus is moving calmly, committedly, resolutely. Jesus makes his way to the cross. As we read the account of Jesus' passion, in every instance, everyone falls short. Every one of them. No one has it. The disciples, the religious leaders, the political leaders, the crowds, no one has it. The disciples deny and wound the one they love. The religious leaders blaspheme themselves and all they supposedly hold dear to get rid of the man that they hate, the one who threatens them and the world which they've constructed. Pilate succumbs to fear and expediency, and he sacrifices an innocent man to keep the peace, to keep his job, to keep the wheels, the machine moving. The crowds, many of whom were likely paid to riot, they do what crowds do, and they seek to inflict pain and suffering on another. Vengeance, judgment, as if that will give their lives some justice and order. Every one is falling short. And alone, there is Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary, the wife of Clopas, Mary Magdalene, and John, the beloved disciple. And they are gathered there at the cross. And in this most desperate and painful of moments, we see Jesus continues his purpose, yes, of the salvation of the world, but the purpose expressed in the beginning of his conversation with Nicodemus, that when I am lifted up, I will draw the world to myself. He creates a community. He says, woman, behold your son. He says to John, behold your mother. He will continue this in the resurrection, speaking peace and restoration to his fearful friends, drawing the world to himself, creating a reconciled community through his cross and through his resurrection, his atoning, righteousness imputing death for the sins of the world. The creation of a flawed community grounded in his perfect, saving, redemptive love. Love one another as I have loved you, Jesus says. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. A community is created by the act of God, the will of God, redeemed by God's grace, where we don't have it, but importantly, where God has us, where we don't have it, but a place where God has us. No one has it. We look at others and imagine that they have it, and with either envy or admiration, and we would love to have it like them. But the reality we're reminded of, all have run, all have denied, all have hardened their hearts, all have fallen short, as Paul would write to the Romans, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But it'll go on and write as well, and are justified by grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, that is in the blood of Jesus. So what does God do with this? What does God do with us who have denied him, who have run away, who have hardened our hearts, who have fallen short? What does God do with this? What does God do with us? What does his revenge look like, his justice? How does God's hammer fall? As God intended from the very beginning, we remember this day, God allows the hammer to fall upon himself. God's revenge on sin and death is in his death. It is in the death of Jesus, and he takes it down to the tomb, down in his death. And he leaves it there, yours, mine. He takes it down to the tomb, down to death, and he leaves it there. He bears our griefs. He carries our sorrows. He remembers our sins and lawless deeds no more. It is by his wounds that we are healed. It is by his wounds that it is finished. We hear the word. God has it. God has worked it out. It is finished.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.